Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to all those that you have come this evening. Thank you for coming and supporting the preaching of God's word. And welcome to those of you who are listening at home. Pray that you'll be blessed with us as we look at God's word and study it together and think about its significance for our lives. Well, as Mark said, we're beginning our autumn look at Proverbs. Proverbs is part of the wisdom literature of the Bible. So we were looking at Job this morning, which is also part of the wisdom literature in the Bible. And it's a particular genre, type of writing. And we're going to be looking at topics that occur in Proverbs. And in the months that come, we've already looked at work, which Mark did before the summer break. But in the months that come, we'll be looking at subjects like marital harmony, intoxication, beauty, and speech. Speech is a big thing in Proverbs, how we talk and what we say and so on. So there are some of the topics we'll be looking at. But tonight I've been given the subject of the sluggard. The sluggard. It's the Proverbs way of describing the lazy person, the kind of the layabout, the loafer, the couch potato, all those expressions you can find on Google if you look on the thesaurus for sluggard. Verses like Mark read earlier, go to the ant. Well, I remember in the authorised version, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. I'm sure my dad used to say that to me when I was growing up. So we'll be looking at some of these verses in Proverbs that teach us something about this subject, about the sluggard. So by way of introduction, I've got just three brief things to say to introduce the idea and the topic before we look specifically at the Proverbs that talk about laziness. And the first thing to say about the sluggard is it's a description of character, not just what we do. You know, like describing someone as a liar or a cheat. You're not just describing what they do sometimes, it's what they are in their hearts, in their character. And no one likes being called a sluggard, do they, or a lazy person. I can imagine if I overheard over coffee after church someone saying, that's Steve Nichols, he's such a lazy elder, he's such a couch potato, or whatever it might be. I'd be a bit offended, because it's not just saying what I do, it's saying what I'm like as a person, if you get that idea, about your character, what you're really like inside, and that comes out in your behaviour. So that's the first thing to say. When we think about this, and we'll get to this, is that it's a heart issue. It's not just about what we do. It's what our attitudes that drive what we do. And the second thing to say is, and you might be relieved by this point, is that not all inactivity is lazy. Not all doing nothing is being lazy. For example, Ruth comes in from work at 6 o'clock. She's done a 10-hour day. She flops down on the sofa, I make her a cup of tea, and she turns the television on, and bring her a dinner a bit later, and she says, I'm sorry I'm being so lazy. Well, is she being lazy? No, she's not being lazy. She's needing to rest because of the work that she's been doing. And we need to emphasize that it's not about being constantly active and busy. Ruth and I were watching a program about zoos, and we were the sloth came on, the animal, the sloth. And you know, the sloth gets a bad press because, you know, you're told the facts about the sloth. It sleeps for 18 hours a day, and for the other 6 hours, it takes it pretty easy, you know, just chills out. But you know, the sloth isn't lazy because that's the way God made the sloth to be, to hang upside down and sleep. Cows aren't lazy either. You look at cows in the field and they're just eating grass and doing nothing else and then going in to be milked and then just chilling out. You don't say those lazy cows, do you? Because cows, that's what cows do. So the thing I'm trying to get across is that inactivity isn't the problem. It's the fact that we are designed for something different as human beings. And we live in a culture, don't we, that's busy, busy, busy. At least it was before the lockdown. Lots of things going on. Work, 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 and then when you finish work, play, play, play. Constant activity, no time for reflection and think. And in fact, the Bible commands us to rest, doesn't it? So it gives us a pattern in the week of resting one day in seven. And Jesus used to tell his disciples that you need to sometimes come apart from the work and rest and pray and think. So that's an important point to make when we're thinking about laziness. It's not just inactivity, because God sometimes calls us to be inactive. And the other point to make is that different people have different energy levels. We're not all like the Duracell bunny, you know, bright-eyed and bushy tails, up at 6 o'clock in the morning, full of energy, seven things to do before breakfast, and you just keep going, going, going. Some people are like that. Some of us are more like those sort of 3-watt night lights that just kind of glow. And they never get much further than that, but they keep going. They keep going. I mean, some people are bedridden. They just have to be in bed the whole time. Some people have very low energy levels because of their health, perhaps for a chronic wasting illness. So this brings me to my definition. This is what I've defined as the sluggard or the lazy person. This is my definition. See what you think. The sluggard has it in his power to do good, to love others, to be useful and industrious, but because of his love of comfort and self-indulgent, he or she never gets round to it. So in other words, you have the within your remit and within your calling, really, to do certain things, and you have the energy and the ability to do them, but you simply put them off because you love your own comfort and your ease, and that is an idol to you. So as we go through these problems, I don't want simply to have a kind of pep talk. You know, you need to be less lazy. You need to, you know, get out more or whatever it might be. So I've got a kind of tagline for the whole message, and it's this, and it'll come out towards the end as we look through this. And this is the tagline: God receives repentant, lazy sinners and makes them into lively saints. So we're all naturally lazy, particularly towards God, as in our natures, but God changes us by his grace and makes us into lively saints, ready and eager and willing and busy to serve the Lord. So we're going to look at some Proverbs now, starting with the one that Mark read at the beginning of the service. Perhaps it's the most well-known of the Proverbs. Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 11. If you've got your Bibles, I don't know if it's going to appear on the screen, but if you've got your Bibles, it'd be good to look it up as well. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander or overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Now there's a paving stone at the end of my garden. It's part of the lawn, but it's sort of right at the back of the garden. And when my grandchildren come round, particularly in the early summer, they love to pull it up, because the ants, there's loads of ants there, and they've laid their little white eggs. And as soon as you lift the stone up, they're launched into activity. I don't know if they're moving before you lift the stone up, you can't really tell, but as soon as you lift the stone up, they're launched into activity to take those eggs underground before they can be damaged or attacked. And you can see how busy they are. They're all working together, and they get those white little white eggs underground in just a matter of a few minutes, and all is safe and well for those eggs. The Bible often uses animals as an example for us to follow. If we look further in Proverbs, we'll see the things like the rock hyrax, who hides in the rocks, and even the spider is used as an example for us. And in Jeremiah that we looked at a few months ago, it talks about the stork going to find its knows the right time to emigrate, knows the right time to go. But man can't get to the party on time. He can't do what God wants him to do. So the ant is an example of purposeful, timely activity, contrasted with the laziness of mankind. It's ironic that man, who should be the peak of creation, the image of God, has to learn from dumb animals how to behave. This shows how sinful we are. So the ant gets on with what it's called to do. It doesn't need a commander. It doesn't need a stick to be beaten. It just gets on with what God has called it to do, without any coercion or force. So that's the first proverb. And then Proverbs 10, verse 4, and then 15, verse 9. Just to say, I'm going to run through these quite quickly, so you'll have to listen up for the just thinking about the basic meaning of each proverb. Proverbs 10, verse 4. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. So here in this Proverbs, we have the outworking of laziness, of sluggardliness, if I can coin that word. Lazy people often end up suffering themselves from their neglect. We often have that phrase, lazy man takes the most pains. Or was that just another one of my dad's phrases? But that's in my mindset. The lazy man takes the most pains. And like all sinful behavior, laziness eventually leads to trouble and chaos. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. And the next proverb is Proverb 10, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. And this is the same verse in the New Living Translation. Lazy people irritate their employers like vinegar to the teeth or smoke in the eyes. If you've ever worked in a team, in your office or wherever you work, in the school, or if you worked in a team where one person is a slacker, they might have ability and gifts, but they're a slacker. It has a huge effect, doesn't it, on the rest of the team and on the productivity. And this is what this proverb's saying, really, that lazy people are such an irritant to employees because you can never trust them to do a job. And they're like vinegar to the teeth, smoke to the eyes. We all know what it's like to have a bitter taste in our mouth, or if our eyes to sting with smoke. That's what the lazy person is like in employment. Proverbs 13, verse 4. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. So this is the same verse in the Message translation. Indolence wants it all and gets nothing. The energetic have something to show for their lives. So when you hear the words appetites or desires, we learn that laziness is really a heart problem, as I said at the beginning. The sluggard wants a quiet life. He loves his comfort and his ease. He's self-indulgent. And he doesn't want the struggle and the battle and the hardship of having to work with sweat and toil. So he worships his comfort. But ironically, that's exactly what he doesn't get. A sluggard's appetite is never filled. Like any sinful pattern of behaviour, whatever it might be, particularly when we come with addictions and things like that, the desire always outweighs what's delivered, and we're never satisfied. So the sluggard's appetite for ease is never filled. He's always dissatisfied. It's a quote from a website that I was looking at. When our love for God turns to apathy, we will find our capacity for such delight running dry, replaced instead by the aimless questing after momentary pleasures, distractions, and stimulations. And doesn't that describe the age in which we live? Aimless distractions, stimulations, which never satisfied. Constantly pressing the pleasure button, want pleasure, but never satisfied. That's the sluggard. He doesn't deliver what he wants, which is comfort and ease. His appetite is never satisfied. So just the final few verses as we just go through some of these Proverbs. Proverbs 26, verse 13 through to 16. And the same message is really in Proverbs 22, 13 as well. Proverbs 26 from verse 13. Here's a good excuse for not going out. A sluggard says, "There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. A sluggard buries his hands in the dish. He's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly." As I said, a poor excuse for staying indoors. There might be a lion outside. So the lazy person always finds a reason for not doing something. You know, whatever it might be, is able to find a reason. And procrastination is really the sluggard's methodology, if you like. So don't do today what you can put off to tomorrow. If you can put it off, put it off. So that's the way a sluggard thinks. And it's almost like an illness, as it's described in these verses, isn't it, really? You know, like any heart problem, any sin, it becomes worse and worse. And the heart becomes more enslaved with the objects that it desires. And so as it's described here, the sluggards can't go out. And he sort of described trying to eat. He's so lacking in any energy, he can't bring his spoon to his mouth to get the food that he needs to remain a sluggard in his mouth. So it's become almost like an illness. And these descriptions describe any sin that really takes a hold on us and really grips us. It becomes like something we can't control. And I think that's what these proverbs that I just read, those verses I just read, bring out. So what's the summary of all those verses? Well, you could say being a sluggard is not a good thing. It has consequences for the individual, the person who is lazy. A lazy person is unwise and causes problems for themselves and is a pain to others. Now, there's so many ways we could apply this to our own lives, our marriages, the way we work at school, our employment, the way we parent, all those things. We could apply it. And I've just got two areas just I'm going to sketch out to think about and just pray that the Holy Spirit will prompt us and deal with things in our lives where we need to ask the Holy Spirit to change us and work in our lives. So these are two brief applications, and then I've got some encouragements just at the end. So we've got just a short while to go. So laziness and loving others is my first application. I'm just going to read one other proverb, because though it doesn't mention the sluggard or laziness, you'll see how it fits in. Proverbs 18, verse 9. "One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys." Let me read that again. "One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys." Now, we've been looking in 1 Peter, haven't we? Preaching through 1 Peter. And in chapter 1, we're commanded to love one another deeply. That's what we're commanded as New Testament believers, to love one another deeply. So does the sluggard do that? Does the lazy person really love others? Well, the answer is no. And it can be in small ways, what you might call micro events in our lives, micro obediences, and in big things where one who is slack can actually end up being a destroyer. My brother Graham went on holiday a few weeks ago. I suppose it's more than a few weeks now. And while he was away, he said, "While I'm away for a couple of weeks, can you just feed my chickens and look after them and collect the eggs?" So I said, "That's no problem. Once a day, just going down there to collect the eggs. That's not a burden for me." So what would have happened if I just hadn't bothered, just forgot? And maybe somehow I kept the chickens alive. And he came home and eggs strewn everywhere, the food empty, chickens half-starved. Would that be loving Graham and Caroline, let alone the chickens? Well, no. But in small ways, we can neglect other people and in that way not love them. Some of you may be old enough to remember the ferry disaster in 1987, called the Zeebrugge one, because that's where the ferry, the Herald of the Free Enterprise was the name of the ferry. It was one of these drive-on, drive-off ferries. And it left Zeebrugge in Belgium, and the bow doors were left open. They weren't secured properly. And within just a very short distance, they came open, and water flooded in, and 190 or so people were killed. And the reason the bow doors weren't shut was because the person who was supposed to be shutting them was asleep in his cabin. And as it turned out, there were other checks and balances that should have been in that were neglected. So it was criminal neglect. That was what willful criminal negligence. And all those people were killed. And sometimes our laziness can have those devastating effects. Our neglect can be that serious. Sometimes we laugh at people who always check that doors are shut. They all go back and double check. But I was thinking, that's a way of loving people, isn't it, really? Providing you're not too obsessive about it. Checking things, checking and being careful is an example of loving others. I'm also mindful of an illustration that Paul Tripp gives, where a father's being challenged about the way he treated his daughter, his teenage daughter, and didn't protect her and care for her and look after her. And his response was to say, "I didn't do anything. I did nothing," to try and sort of defend himself. But of course, that's exactly the point. His neglect, his lack of care, serious lack of care, had lasting effects. So just a challenge for us, really, in the way that we love each other, to pray that God will enable us to love others. And it's a challenge to us. So second area, which are just sketching out, is laziness in growing in our Christian lives. We sometimes call it growing in grace. So we're called to be active in the work of growing as a Christian. Just one reference for this in 2 Peter. So Peter's been talking about God's divine power at work in our lives, that Holy Spirit power within us that enables us to grow. And he says this in 2 Peter 1, verse 5. "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, and those other qualities of a mature Christian. Make every effort. Give all diligence," some translations put it. Really go for it. God calls us to struggle and strive and to give great diligence to growing in our Christian lives. Reading his word, praying, meeting with other Christians, doing everything we can to nurture that spiritual life that God has given us. Now, of course, our growth as Christians is God's work. It's not ours. But God calls us to be diligent in using those means of grace that God has given, that we should grow. So I've just sketched out those, and I want to give some encouragements to you, because I think it's easy to just be bowed down and thinking, oh, I should be better, I shouldn't be so lazy. But how can we be encouraged in not being sluggardly, if I can put it that way? Because of God's work in us, God changes us by his grace, and he changes us from being lazy sinners to make us those people who are vigorous and working in God's kingdom. So there's three encouragements here to bring things to a bit of a close. The first thing is the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. So we sang a hymn just before I came out to speak, O Church Arise, which is a hymn calling the church like an army to rise and hear the call of the captain and to take on the fight against the devil and to seek to release the captive souls. It's a spiritual warfare. And we know what a lazy soldier is, isn't it? A lazy soldier is a dead soldier because vigilance is required in fighting. But the last verse which we sang really struck me was, it's something like, so Spirit come, give strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant, God, good and faithful. So the last verse is a call to the Holy Spirit to enable us in our striving, to enable us to keep going. So the Holy Spirit doesn't bless laziness. The New Testament doesn't tell us we can just lay back in our couches, we can just watch TV endlessly, eat and drink what we want, just take it easy, just be cool, and God will sort out all the problems in your life. Is that what the New Testament teaches? Because that's not what the New Testament teaches. It teaches us that as we strive, as that last verse says, we strive in the power of the Holy Spirit. He enables us. He gives us the strength. He gives us, as it were, the running legs to keep going as we strive in his strength. So it's a wonderful thing to know that the power of the Holy Spirit is at work in us. What an amazing thought, isn't it? That when we became Christians, God's Spirit entered us. And through the work of his Spirit, we are able to shake off that laziness, shake off our laziness and to go boldly forward. So New Testament freedom is not the freedom to vegetate like a cow in the field, but to run like a racehorse to the finishing line. That's what we're called to be. So a summary of that is the Holy Spirit will honour our strivings as we do it in his strength and depend on him. In Philippians, at the very beginning, Paul says, he who began a good work in you will complete it. So he's confident that God is at work in them, but he still says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So that's just two very brief areas sketched out. And I just want to talk a little bit, finally, about some areas where we can be encouraged. Lost my notes here somewhere, but so this is the second area. Sorry, I've got slightly lost my place there. So the second area is motivation. So we've been thinking about the Holy Spirit working in our lives and changing us as a great encouragement. But we also have to have a motive, don't we? It's already well to say, well, it's a heart problem. But sometimes we're indolent because we can't see the point of carrying on. We can't see a reason to get out of bed in the morning. We don't see any hope. But you know, for us as Christians, we have a great hope. Sometimes I'm not surprised when I find non-Christians not really having any purpose and not really having any motivation in their lives. But believers, we have much to motivate us because of the gospel and gospel hope. Just a couple of references to this. Firstly, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So can you see the motivation there? We live in dark days. The gospel is the only hope for men and women. We have the gospel. We know Christ. We have much to inspire us. We know that our labour in the Lord will not be in vain. Or for example, in 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking about the resurrection and how significant that is and how important the resurrection is. And then he says at the end of 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. So we have much to motivate us, to get us off our seats and to get us moving in God's word, to keep us going. And the Bible calls us, it sometimes reminds us that the time is limited. And particularly when it's talking to non-Christians, it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, do it now. But as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we have a limited time on this earth. We know that the gospel needs to be shared with a lost world. And we need to be those who are seeking to reach others for the gospel. Ruth was listening to a hymn as I left. It was something like, from lethargy awake us, from lethargy awake us. So I was thinking how that was a hymn about the gospel banner going forward. And we need to hear that. So my final encouragement is that we should encourage one another. And it's from Hebrews. If you ever read the book of Hebrews, really, it's one long encouragement and exhortation. At the end of the chapter, sorry, the end of the book, where is it? Yeah, 13:22. Brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I've written you only a short letter. So it's the whole of Hebrews exhorting people to press on. But the verse I want to leave with you is Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. So this is part of a call to persevere in the Christian life. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. So it's that phrase, spur one another on. If you look in the older versions, it says provoke one another to love and good works. The idea of chivying one another along. And we can do this in all kinds of ways. I'll just end with one brief, you might find it quite a trivial illustration. But I think it illustrates what I'm trying to get across in terms of encouraging one another. So a couple of months ago, or maybe a month ago, I was visiting my mum. And we went out for a short walk, because the weather was nice. And as we came back, I was about to go, and she said, my alarm clock in my bedroom is still on Greenwich Mean Time, and it's an hour out, so could you just pop upstairs and do it for me? So I just said, bear in mind, she's been waiting since March the 31st for this. I said, oh, Mum, I'll do it next time. So my mum being my mum said, well, can't you do it now? So I did. And as it only took me about 2 minutes to run up the stairs, press the buttons. As I was coming back down the stairs, I thought, the only reason I didn't do it was because I was just lazy. There's no reason why I couldn't have quickly done it. And we need to be those not scolding one another, not berating one another, like hitting one another with a stick, not nagging each other. Nagging is the worst sort of thing, isn't it? But encouraging each other. Spurring one another on, like the coach might spur the athlete on as the athlete is seeking to get faster and faster and better, spurring one another on. Perhaps that's something we've missed during the lockdown. We've been more separated from each other. And one of the reasons for meeting together, one of the reasons why we emphasize being a community, part of God's community of people, is that we encourage one another and keep one another going in the Christian life. So that's the sluggard. So just remember those motivations, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have no reason not to strive because of the power of the Holy Spirit is at work within us. We have the motivation of gospel light, which has been shed on us. We've been given new life in Christ. We have all that we need to grow in grace and to move forward in our Christian lives. And whatever we do, whatever, whether it's a small thing in the Christian work or big, it won't be wasted because it's part of God's kingdom work. And then we can spur one another on to love and to good works, provoke one another, sometimes even challenge each other, but do it gently and in a way that is really encouraging.